You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Recently, the United Nations released its fifth assessment on what is currently known about global climate. And the news isn't very good. In short, the climate is already changing, and human industrial activity is almost entirely to blame. Many parts of the world are likely to become very difficult to live in, and possibly for centuries to come. Dr. Christian Holtz is Executive Director of Climate Action Canada. For his PhD dissertation, he studied the role of environmental organizations within the United Nations climate change negotiations. Christian Holtz joins us on the phone from Ottawa. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
What is the IPCC and what sort of work does it do?
Well, the IPCC is basically a UN, United Nations body, that that reviews existing climate scientists. So it's basically an advisory body that advises the world's government on climate politics. Oh, sorry, on climate science.
And does it do original research?
No, that's what I meant by saying they review science. So basically, so this report that just came out was their fifth assessment report, and every 5 or 6 years or so, a large number of scientists get together in a large review exercise where basically they synthesize the vast body of literature of scientific research on climate change that has been published since the last exercise and review this and condense it down into their assessment of the state of science. And that assessment then gets further distilled into a so-called summary for policymakers, which is used by governments around the world to inform their climate politics.
What are some of the major findings of the current report?
Well, for me, really, there are like two top findings and then a number of supplementary tops. So I'll just start, in radio chart fashion with the second one. That's the second most important for me, and that is that the certainty has been upgraded since the last exercise 5 years, 6 years ago. And so collectively, scientists are now they are now comfortable to say that they are 95% certain that humans are causing climate is happening, and that it's going to go worse. So basically, this is in science, 95% certain is sort of the holy grail in terms of certainty. It's right up there with the certainty that we know that smoking is causing cancer and these sort of things. So in lay person's term, we could really say this is. This is proven, really, but scientists are sort of uncomfortable with that sort of language.
And so that's the primary one. What other aspects are the top findings?
Well, the other top one for me is that sort of the good news part, and sort of as a to contrast your not that good to comment in the introduction, is that the report for the first time also gives us a relatively clear, like compared with previous reports, relatively clear indication what has to be done to limit global warming to a level that might avoid the worst impacts. And so, and that is the top one for me outcome of the report that basically tells us that we need collectively as humanity phase out greenhouse gas emissions completely by mid-century, and then we'll have a good chance. And that, of course, means that we'll have to phase out the use of oil, coal, and gas. We'll have to severely limit scale back the rate of deforestations across the globe, and all these sort of things. So that's the good news story. It's still possible. We have a pathway. We have a goal, and we should strive for that.
Now, what are some of the differences between this latest report and the previous one?
Right. So in terms of certainty, last time around, 6 years ago, they talked about being between 90 and 100% certain. Now it's 95 to 100. So it's a little bit more certain. So really, now we could really say it's proven beyond any reasonable doubt, and the science is clear, and scientists have done their job, and now it's in the hands of societies to fix the problem. Other things that have changed, as I mentioned, now there is a this relatively clear pathway toward in terms of the reductions that we need to phase out. It was a little bit harder to understand the science and take the conclusions from that in the previous report. So that's very useful. But also they found that the sea level rise has been faster than previously thought and has accelerated it's keeping accelerating. The rate of Arctic sea ice loss is increasing and so on. So there are basically climate change, the speed of climatic change across the globe has picked up, and that is one of the of the outcomes of this report. And then what is also increased is our level of understanding of the details. So basically that is another big message, is that while the overall picture doesn't change, has not changed since the last assessment report, we already knew and we still know that humans are causing climate change and they have the power to change to stop that. But we understand a little bit more about the details of what's going on, like in a much higher resolution across the globe.
Now, I understand that there was some change in how the models of how the atmosphere was warming were viewed, but that there was sort of an offset with the warming of the oceans. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Right. So it's known that basically a lot of the warming, a lot of the heat that is trapped on Earth by the greenhouse gases goes in the oceans and not in the atmosphere. So basically you see the oceans warming at a faster rate than the surface, and that causes sea ice loss and so on. So in some periods, the oceans are trapping more heat, like the ocean trapping speed is sort of higher than the surface warming. But generally speaking, there's a differential between the heat trapped in the oceans and on the surface.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the structure of the IPCC and how does that influence how the findings are summarized and presented?
So basically, the IPCC has three working groups. So this report that we saw now is just basically on the physical science base. So it's really just looking at the physics and the chemistry of climate change. And the other working groups look at adaptation and impacts on human systems by climate change now and in the future. And the third working group looks at how climate change can be mitigated, can be avoided. Those second and third working group reports in spring 2014. All these working groups are basically comprised of scientists from all across the world who undertake this volunteer review exercise of the current state of climate science and do so in sort of a fashion of academic engagement and discussion by deciding like what the consensus view is in that scientific body. Those are the long underlying technical, so-called technical reports. They are running the 2,000 pages and longer. But then there is the summary for policymakers, which is in the 30-40 page range, and which is adopted by the IPCC plenary. And there you have governments representing governments being represented as well as the authors to ensure that the language is clear, as free of jargon as possible, and presented in a way that's useful for publics and governments around the world to use in making decisions on climate science, climate politics.
Christian, you talked about one of the positive aspects of the report being a clear path forward, and you mentioned a few of the targets or goals that might imply. How do you think this report might influence the future of climate change negotiations?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think the target is now like clearer than before, the last time around, the report has given quite an impetus into the negotiations, but politics have have sort of not kept up with science in that way that the political will to implement politics that are sufficient to meet that target have been missing. But There was more room for interpretation in the previous data on where to go in terms of mitigating climate change. So I'm quite hopeful that this clearer message now can be used. You know, just think about like domestic politics, and if you know that collectively as humanity we have to phase out greenhouse gases altogether by mid-century, that is a very very useful sort of yardstick to judge individual energy projects. So you can basically every energy project that is proposed, you can ask yourself, does this contribute or hinder our progress toward phasing out the use of oil, coal, and gas within the next 35 years or so, and that can certainly help.
Christian, I'm curious about your you've been very involved in this issue. What's your assessment of how the media has reported on these results from the IPCC and climate science in general?
I think, generally speaking, media reporting was quite positive and helpful. There's one point that where I was a little bit. Well, actually, there are two points where I was a little bit unhappy. One, there is an issue that the summary of the IPCC report somewhat suggests that there might be a budget of allowable emissions for humanity to avoid the worst warming, and I think that that number has been translated as a budget by the media, and I think that's an unhelpful characterization, because there is really no safe number of emissions. It's just like basically a trade-off between how fast can we possibly reduce emissions. But if you talk about a budget, politicians and people in general think, okay, that is the amount that we can spend without getting into trouble. That's just the way we think about budgets, and that is clearly not helpful, because those budgets are sort of on. Take a level of risk that I personally would not feel comfortable with.
Well, it's been really good talking with you this morning, Christian. Thank you for bringing us up to speed on the report, and we hope to talk to you again.
Okay, you too. Have a good day.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Dr. Christian Holtz. He's Executive Director of Climate Action Network Canada, and for more information, you can go to climateactionnetwork.ca.